Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 38 of Season 12 of Movie Around Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we dig our way through the 1994 film The Shawshank Redemption, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Jess Rogers Pearson, a former podcaster who still wants to talk about movies, so that's great. Welcome back, Jess.
Thanks, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. I'm very happy that you have come back because we know that Andy seems to be in less danger. You know.
Yes.
Seems that
he has not fallen off the roof.
fallen off the roof or been thrown off the roof, which
he has been done neither at this point.
Exactly. Exactly. Minute 38 begins with Trout finishing his chuckle, and ends with Red explaining how he felt drinking the beer. So we left things off yesterday with Andy sort of patronizing Hadley by telling him, I'm sure you would have figured this out yourself, but I can do it for you. And if I do it for you, then there's no problem.
Nearly free of charge.
That's right. Just three beers apiece for all my coworkers. And so we hear Trout continue with his chuckle, and he goes, ain't it? And Andy just continues talking to Hadley, and he goes, I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if he can have a bottle of suds. That's only my opinion, sir. So it's interesting, because I wouldn't expect Andy to use the phrase suds.
Yeah.
You know, he seems a little more, I don't know if sophisticated is the right word for it.
Polished? Yeah. Just,
you know, it just seems
he'd use more direct vocabulary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, again, it makes sense because, you know, you have the foam on the beer and stuff like that, and it was a slang term that was used, so that's fine. Yep. But it just having it come out of Andy's mouth is to me a little strange.
Fair.
You know, I would think he would just say beers again. You know, that type of thing. I don't know. There are a lot of different, phrases used for beer. Do you know of any others?
I mean, there's like a brew, or there's versions of that. I don't know if I can think of any off the top of my head. Booze.
So yeah. Basically, it's sometimes referred to as a cold one, a brewski, a wallop, known as an amber nectar.
Sure.
A lager, or lager. I don't know how that's pronounced. I'm pretty sure that's
lager.
Right. Okay. It's sometimes known as a hop bomb.
Okay.
A sudsy brew. A session beer, or a tall boy.
Which okay, is, I didn't know that's what a tall boy was.
A tall boy is a large 16-ounce can of beer.
Okay.
So again, but it's just strange that Andy's using that phrase here. But okay, and I love how he just throws in there, that's my opinion, sir. You know, sure. He forgets for a second that he's not having a conversation with a colleague here. You know, you have to throw in that little that little sir, which works.
It's almost him reminding him, you're supposed to be doing a job, and you let me walk all the way up to you, and don't forget, there's other people here you're supposed to be overseeing. That you're
that's
not.
Right. Well, he's thinking about his $35,000.
Yeah, true. And potentially killing Andy.
Well, you know, that just goes with the job, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
It's a little strange. And Hadley then snaps out of it and sees that everyone has basically stopped doing any work, and they're all frozen. The cons all look like they're frozen in fear and shock as to what's been going on here.
Yeah.
You know.
You'd think they would be looking away so they couldn't be a witness if he got thrown off the roof. But they're staring pretty hard.
Yeah, because again, you people, it's rubbernecking.
Yeah. It absolutely is.
That's what it comes down to. That there's an accident on the other side, and you're just gonna sit and you want to watch it. You want to watch the carnage. So that these guys on the one hand are scared that he is gonna throw their friend over the roof, but they're also there's part of them that's saying, "Hey, I want to see what this guard's gonna do." And Hadley just snaps out of it and looks over at all of them and goes, "What are you, Jim, and staring at?" He goes, "Back to work." And you see that they all start tarring much faster.
For sure.
And so, are you familiar with the term Jimmy?
Not in terms of talking about it as a person, only in terms of topping you
That
put on
is
ice
too.
cream. Okay. So no, not I when I saw the phrase being used here, no, other than a group of people named Jim or James,
Right.
no, it didn't.
So
It didn't.
in
It's
the
not something I've heard.
northeast of the US, Jimmies are strictly chocolate sprinkles that you put on that you put on ice cream. And that history goes all the way back to the 1930s when the Just Born Campy Company named it after an employee named Jimmy, who's in charge of the sprinkle machine.
Oh, okay,
There are
sure.
rumors that it's connected to the idea of Jim Crow laws, but that pretty much is not true.
Fair.
And to jimmy something as a verb is to try and pry something open with a crowbar or screwdriver or a
Yeah.
Slim Jim, which is the reason why it's thought of as a to jimmy, the whole idea.
Okay.
Jimmies also in American street slang are condoms that can be referred to as jimmy hats or
Okay.
just jimmies. And not related to the idea of condoms, but crabs that you find in the ocean. Male blue crabs are called jimmies. Okay, so
Wow.
yeah, so
Did not
but
know
the
that.
context that Hadley is using here for a jimmy is it basically is a generic everyday placeholder name for just a regular guy. Like you could call them, Jack, Joe, Mac, something like that. It's basically just a unfamiliar guy on the street. So and it
Yeah.
says a
Okay.
lot about Hadley that he is calling them Jimmies because he's basically saying, I don't care what your names are. You're
Right.
all
For
just,
sure.
faceless people to me. You Jimmies better get back to work. That type of thing. I like that. I like the way that they do that. And then
Yeah.
Trout screams at them and goes, "Let's go work." And we see that Hadley stares at Andy and then releases him from his collar and lets him go. And then the shot
Yeah.
changes and we
It's perfect. It's such a great
And
shot.
then we get to see Skeet sitting on the side drinking a beer. And then
Oh, even before that, as Andy's walking away, that moment I had written down how it's that whole tension that they've built over the last 2 and a little bit minutes is literally flooding away as Andy sort of walks slowly and he's got this grin going as he's sort of reassuring, his eyes sort of shoot back to, is Hadley watching behind me? I'm walking away. Like there's so much encapsulated in just Andy's walking back. And it's a split second of that screen,
Right,
of that
and
scene.
that's right. And
And
I'm
then it
actually
transitions.
glad they don't like have him smirk or something like that there, because he's still in a little bit
Yeah.
of shock about the whole situation, even though he theoretically knows what he did.
Right. He's unsure. You can see his eyes sort of moving around and he's sort of regaining himself a little, but there's a lot of emotion. But you're right, not smirking, not like, hey, I got something. Then he's just, his walk away is like, I survived that.
And again, there's a when the shot transitions to them on the roof drinking the beer. So there's a lot that happens between now and then because, Andy has to fill out all those forms. Andy has to take care of this. This is, we will see later on how they start sizing him up and deciding what he's going to do and things like that. But it makes me very curious how he actually, filled out these forms for Hadley. Because like he it's not like he's going to go to the library
Oh,
and do it.
clearly there's stuff going on.
Exactly.
No,
So
not
that
yet.
it, again, it's not necessary. It's not something that's needed. It's completely implied here that this is what he's going to be doing, and that's fine. But again, it's the curiosity in me that says, oh, I wonder how they pulled that off, in reality, not just in theory, that type of thing. But again, doesn't make a difference. Doesn't make a difference at all. And then the shot changes. And we see Skeet sitting on the edge drinking a beer, really happy about the beer. And then he hands it off to Ernie, who puts it on the side. Another empty beer. And then Ernie just pulls out another beer to give it to him. I guess Skeet hasn't gotten to his three beer minimum maximum at this point.
And I love that it's 10 a.m. They're drinking their beers at 10 a.m. Presumably they have to work the rest of the day, right?
I'm assuming that, but they're pretty much done, so
Yeah, they say that they make, I love the in the narration, they make note of it. On the second to last day of the job, wound up sitting in a row at 10 o'clock in the morning. That's crazy.
so then we hear Red narrating, and he goes, and that's how it came to pass that on the second to last day of the job. So again, you said you mentioned before that they still have work to do, but they have another day and a half to do. It's not just they have another few hours.
Right.
It's the second to last day of the job. The convict crew that tarred the plate factory roof in the spring of 49 wound up sitting in a row at 10 o'clock in the morning, drinking icy cold Bohemia style beer, courtesy of the hardest screw that ever worked a turn at Shawshank State Prison. And we see these guys are enjoying themselves. We see Snooze is drinking one of the beers. You see one of the guys is also smoking.
Right.
The camera shot is also great because it shows us all of these various characters, how they're all enjoying this little bit of relief from the work that they've been doing by drinking this beer.
Yeah.
Even Haywood like wipes his mouth with his arm, with
Right.
his forearm.
No,
So
it's
yeah,
such a
it's
beautiful day. You said it was Roger Deakins who does the cinematography. It's so well done. Like it seemed they're all sweaty, probably because the tar is hot and things like that. But April in Maine is not a hot day per se. It's just a
Well,
beautiful
this is
day.
me, May. This is May. May.
Okay, even in May, spring of 49. So
That's
May
right.
of 49. It's still maybe not that hot a day. It's just nice. It's a beautiful day that he's made feel very rich.
100%. And again, the way that the camera moves between them, and it then lingers. It eventually, as it's moving, we see Hadley walk by, bend down and actually pick up one of the beers for himself.
Yeah.
Which tells us a lot because what it says to us is that he, if there are 12 guys there, he didn't bring 36 beers. He brought more than that.
Or he's more than willing to drink their beers and not and see if they'll chat.
For some reason, I don't think
I agree with you.
Again, we also know that there will be three empty extra beers because Andy is not going to be drinking. But
Right.
I don't think Hadley's looking at it and going, oh, well, Andy's not drinking. I'm going to drink his, that type of thing. Hadley's probably saying to himself, why the hell did he ask for it if he's not drinking? That makes more sense to me that he would be saying
Right.
to himself.
Yeah.
But it's just it's great. There was a time right at the start of the internet, back in the or the start of most of us using the internet, let's put it that way, in the mid 90s, where I had on my lap on my desktop quotes from this movie. Like that was like my email. When I would get an email, then I would hear, instead of just getting a ding, I
Yeah.
would hear, and that's how it came to pass that on the second to last day of
Did
the
you
job.
really?
Yes.
Wow.
I would download different quotes from this movie and other movies and stuff like that. That would
Wow.
at random times, with different things that happened on the computer, instead of just a little jingle or a beep, they would give me full phrases from the, and I remember this phrase was definitely one of them. I can't remember what exactly I used it for, but it was great.
That's funny.
Right. And Hadley, as he's walking past them, goes, "Drink up while it's cold, ladies." And then Red continues his narration and goes, "The colossal prick even managed to sound magnanimous." And again, the shot is great because it gives us basically a 360-degree shot of all these guys with Hadley walking around them also.
Right.
So it's just done really, really well. And then we hear him say, "We sat and drank with the sun on our shoulders and felt." And then he gets cut off with what he's saying there. But again, it's great. I really like the way that they show this to us,
Yeah.
because it's a scene that you wouldn't expect to have in a movie like this.
No. It is doing a good job setting them up for this outdoor work, right? Like last week you talked about the getting the job and what Red had to do, and it only cost them what, three smokes apiece or something to get the job.
Exactly.
And it's clearly something they're trying to feel like men outside and do this thing. And it's not, no, it's not something you'd expect when you tune in and you realize you're watching a prison movie, that you'd get to see this normalcy
That's right.
of those same people.
That's right. That's right. Again, I've talked about this before. We're supposed to feel the normalcy of these convicted murderers and
Right.
convicted criminals. The movie does a great job of manipulating us into caring about these
Yeah.
hardened criminals, because also the way the movie is presented is that these criminals, even if they're not innocent, they're not as bad as
Right.
the system is.
Yeah.
The system is worse. That type of thing. So again, I like the way that they present that
Agreed.
to us. So let's go back to the book a little bit to go through a little bit more about what was happening in the book. So Andy had asked for 3 beers apiece for my coworkers, and Mert was laughing about it, and Hadley just yells at him and goes, "Shut your friggin' trap," Hadley growled, and Mert shut. Hadley looked at Andy again. What was you saying?" "I was saying that I'd only ask 3 beers apiece for my coworkers, if that seems fair," Andy said. "I think a man feels more like a man when he's working out of doors in the springtime if he can have a bottle of suds. That's only my opinion. It would go down smooth, and I'm sure you'd have their gratitude. I've talked to some of the other men who were up there that day," and he mentioned some names, but it doesn't really make a difference. "We all saw the same thing then, felt the same thing. Suddenly, it was Andy who had the upper hand. It was Hadley who had the gun on his hip and the billy in his hand. Hadley who had his friend Greg Stamets behind him, and the whole prison administration behind Stamets, the whole power of the state behind that. But all at once, in that golden sunshine, it didn't matter. And I felt my heart leap up in my chest as it never had since the truck drove me and four others through the gate back in 1938. Again, he's only meant to be there 10 years at this point, not 20. And I stepped out into the exercise yard. Andy was looking at Hadley with those cold, clear, calm eyes. And it wasn't just the 35,000 then. We all agreed on that. I've played it over and over in my mind, and I know it was man against man, and Andy simply forced him the way a strong man can force a weaker man's wrist to the table in a game of Indian wrestling. There was no reason, you see, why Hadley couldn't have given Mert the nod at the very minute, pitched Andy overside onto his head, and still taken Andy's advice. No reason, but he didn't. I can get you all a couple of beers if I want to, Hadley said. A beer does taste good when you're working. The colossal prick even managed to sound magnanimous. I just give you one piece of advice the IRS wouldn't bother you with, Andy said. His eyes were fixed unwinkingly on Hadley's. Make the gift to your wife if you're sure. If you think there's even a chance she might double cross you or back shoot you, we could work out something else. Double cross me, Hadley asked harshly. Double cross me? Mr. Hotshot Banker, if she ate her way through a boxcar of Ex-Lax, she wouldn't dare fart unless I gave her the nod. Mert, Youngblood, and the other screws yupped it up dutifully. Andy never cracked a smile. I'll write down the forms you need, he said. You can get them at the post office, and I'll fill them out for your signature. That sounded suitably important, and Hadley's chest swelled. Then he glared around at the rest and hollered, "What are you, Jimmy, staring at? Move your asses, God damn it!" He looked back at Andy. You come over here with me, Hotshot, and listen to me well. If you're Jewing me somehow, you're gonna find yourself chasing your head around Shower C before the week's out. Yeah, I understand that, Andy said softly. And he did understand it. The way it turned out, he understood a lot more than I did, more than any of us did. That's how, on the second to last day of the job, the convict crew that tarred the plate factory roof in 1950 ended up sitting in a row at 10 o'clock on the spring morning, drinking Black Label beer supplied by the hardest screw that ever walked a turn in Shawshank Prison. The beer was piss warm, but it was still the best I had ever had in my life. We sat and drank it and felt the sun on our shoulders, and not even the expression of half amusement, half contempt on Hadley's face, as if he was watching apes drink beer instead of men, could spoil it. It lasted 20 minutes, that beer break, and for those 20 minutes, we felt like free men. We could have been drinking beer and tarring the roof of our own houses. So again, it's a great translation from the book to the movie,
Although I
the way
hadn't
that they do it.
realized that this is the second anti-Semitic sort of phrase that Stephen King used for one in the names of in the mouths of one of his characters, but I'm very glad they chose to take it out
That's
of the movie.
I like it. I like the way that they do it. Darabont knows what to take and what
Yeah.
not to take. You know, there's no
What
question about it.
makes it characteristic of the time? Sure, that was probably a commonly used slur in whatever way this guy's an asshole doing his thing. But like, I don't know that we need to perpetuate that in the 90s by reminding people that that was okay and
That's it.
making this big movie to say that that's okay.
Exactly. No,
Yeah.
it was a good choice to keep it out. You know,
Yeah.
it makes a lot of sense. And also the whole thing where he's talking about with his wife, you know, that doesn't, you know,
Right, the details.
it's good that they took those details out because you don't need them. You know, everyone knows that King, especially at this time when he was writing, made his characters sometimes as crazy and mean that you wouldn't expect, but he was true to the
Yes.
character's forms, which is also good.
Yeah.
You know, you can believe that Hadley possibly acts this way, you know, even though we all shouldn't be acting this
Right.
way, that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so I like that. All right. So do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
So this is almost the last minute we see, is it Clancy Brown is who
Yes.
plays the actor? So I mentioned earlier that I came to Shawshank well after it came out because I thought it was a very different movie that wouldn't appeal to me. And I looked up why I had such a weird reaction to Clancy Brown. I had seen The Hurricane with Denzel Washington first, where he also plays a really mean, evil guard with no redemption. And then I saw Shawshank after that. So I don't think I saw it until the end of college, so 2000, 2001. And I had already seen Clancy Brown as this evil prison guard. And then to see him in this, I was very suspicious of him as an actor all the way through, whatever character he's playing. And so
Interesting.
this comes up where my reaction is very much like, oh, is this the movie where he's really bad, or is this the movie where he eventually redeems?
Right.
And
And anyone
Clancy
who's seen
Brown
this
is a
movie knows the
good
answer
actor.
to
Yeah, exactly. And both of them, right? He is a good actor. He's exceptional voice actor too.
And I
Yeah, I
also
just didn't want to forget to mention him.
right, I remember reading that when they were filming this, he stayed as far away from all the other actors as possible. You know,
Oh, wow.
because he didn't want to get friendly with any of them, even off screen, in order to keep it as authentic
Authentic.
as possible. Exactly. All right. So today's segment is called Midweek Morgan, where my guests will give their top five Morgan Freeman performances. So once again, why don't you start with your number five and work your way up?
All right. So I have an honorable mention. I will put in the movie of his that I've probably seen the most number of times, but he's not huge in the movie, but he's very funny in small parts of it, which do recur. So my honorable mention goes to The Sum of All Fears with Ben Affleck, where he plays one of the director of the CIA, basically. Number five is Lean on Me, where he plays the school principal and is amazing. Number four is, yeah, I got this right, is Seven. Even though it's such a hard movie to watch, he's so good in it. He's so you're he's the one you're driving all of the information through. He is the stand-in for the audience in so many ways, watching what's happening, thinking through what's happening. The next one's kind of a cheat, but it's the original and the sequel, and he plays the same character in both. And it's Bruce and Evan Almighty, and he plays God because, of course, he does, and he's perfect in it. It's also another, I think I really like, and you'll see with number two, I like when he's playing funny. I think he's got a great sense of humor and a great sense of comedy. So Bruce and Evan Almighty, he's so good as God. Number two is The Bucket List. It is not in terms of quality of films, it's in terms of his performance in it. He and Jack Nicholson are just riffing off each other the whole time. So well done. He's going through this horrific cancer treatment. He's trying new things. He doesn't have all the advantages of Nicholson's character to know what's going on, to demand better care, et cetera. And you get to see them also then do their bucket list stuff. And I think my favorite movie that he's in is Invictus. Following obviously the South African rugby team at a time just after Nelson Mandela has come to power in South Africa, and he really needs the rugby team to help unite South Africa. And I think he does an amazing job playing Nelson Mandela. He's got, for someone who is so recognizable as himself, playing a renowned public figure, he really gets into the role, both with the accent, with the mannerisms, the posture, all of it. And I think he just does an amazing job in that movie.
All right. Very cool. That is a great list. Thank you.
Yeah. His Oscar-winning list, I hate Million Dollar Baby. I think it's so hard to watch in all the ways. I know he's amazing in it, but I hate that movie, so it's not on my list. Just felt the need to
Yep,
explain.
I think he was given the Oscar not necessarily for his role in that movie. You know,
Agreed.
I think it was both a lifetime achievement and for some of the other stuff that he's done that they just looked at him and they said this is a guy who deserves it, you know.
Yeah,
Okay,
agreed.
well, thank you very much. That is a great list. So let's play the game of high low. So let's spin the wheel and see what you get. Okay, your first one is the 1952 film Moulin Rouge. It's not the
Ooh.
2001 version of it.
So say the year again,
50, 52,
1951?
52.
52. Wow. I think IMDb probably gave it a 7.1. And in 1950s movie, Rotten Tomatoes probably gave it a
You
82.
first of all, IMDb, you got on the nose, 7.1, and
Nice.
Rotten Tomatoes is 79. So you're very close, very good. Yeah,
Pretty close. I'm getting the
maybe,
hang of this maybe. One time.
maybe. Let's see. All right, so let's spin the wheel for your next one. All right, the 2024 film Nickel Boy.
Oh wow, two
Yeah.
2024 films this week, neither of which I've seen.
And who's at fault with that?
That's me. No, definitely working too much, and yeah. Our movie theater is not that great locally, so we gotta aim to go further. I think Nickel Boy's got a 8.1 on IMDb and a 86 on Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. Well, you're not as close this time. It's a 7.1
Oh. Oh, I was
and
way off.
a
Okay.
92%.
Whoa, that's good. I'm glad people liked it.
All right. Let's spin the wheel for your final one today. Okay, the 1995 film Sense and Sensibility.
My favorite movie.
Is it really?
It is. That's funny. I love that movie.
I'm a big fan of it too. I think it's
Also
definitely
one of the
the
best
best version of it.
book adaptations. Yeah. So IMDb, I would give it an 8.6 and Rotten Tomatoes a 93.
All right. Well, it's IMDb is 7.7.
Oof, okay.
But Rotten Tomatoes is 97,
Woo, yay.
which is quite a
I'm
quite
surprised in
amazing,
the same. Yeah.
that it is so high, which is great. I think it's
Yeah.
deserving. So that doesn't bother
Agreed.
me that it's so high, but it's still surprising, that.
It's surprising. I mean, it's not a straight down the middle for everybody kind of
Exactly.
movie. It's kind of a niche in its
That's
own
right.
way. It's a period drama.
Yeah, a period drama with Hans Gruber and oh crap, what's his name? Hugh Grant.
Grant,
There you
except I can't
go.
remember the main
No,
character.
I was trying to think of his name in Four Ways and a Funeral. Charles.
Charles, yes.
All right, so let's play the second game today of Name That Novel Adaptation.
Okay, haven't gotten either of the previous ones, so we're going to something current, please. I know it's random.
You ask for current and you get a movie from 1936.
Okay.
The original story is called The Secret Agent.
The original story is The Secret Agent, and I have to come up
The
with.
name of the movie from 1936.
Oh my gosh. The Secret Agent? There's not that many movies from 1936, period. I don't know. The
First of
Little
all, there
Dictator?
are.
No, I know there are. There's not that many that are still very well known.
Okay, well,
No,
this is directed by Alfred Hitchcock, so you get another Hitchcock movie.
Wow. Okay. 36. The Secret Agent?
Written
I don't
the
know. All I
Secret
can
Agent
think
is
of is
actually written by
Bond.
Joseph Conrad.
Oh, wow. Heart of Darkness, Joseph Conrad.
Exactly.
See, I know some things, but not this.
So the name of the movie is Sabotage.
Okay.
It's
Wow, I didn't
it's
know
it's a
Kubrick was
movie.
working that early. That's awesome. I didn't know his movies went back that far. I knew him well from the
It's
50s.
Hitchcock, not Kubrick.
Oh, I didn't mean Kubrick. I meant Hitchcock. Sorry. I didn't know Hitchcock was going back that far. I knew him. I know his work from the 50s and 60s.
No, he goes all the way back to the 20s.
Wow.
Yeah, I've seen all of Hitchcock's movies. Even the early ones I didn't like at all.
Fair.
Sabotage actually is a very good one. It's about a Scotland Yard detective who's on the trail of a saboteur who's part of a plot to set off a bomb in London.
Nice.
So Yeah, it's a nice thriller for 1936. It's also pre-World War II, things like that. So it's some of the stuff that it touches upon is great. Right. So would you like to once again tell everyone where they can find you?
Most of the episodes of my previous podcast, Real Insight, are still out there in the world. You can find and listen to them. We did a great one about Morgan Freeman. And you can find me on Threads at Eco River.
All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, get busy living.
Get busy dying.